Hi, this is Eric Mann. You're on KPFK 90.7 FM. As you know, this is the 4 o'clock hour show. We call it Voices from the Front Lines, and Manning Marable has been on the front lines for a long time. We just came back from the, we being Damon Azali, myself, Cynthia Rojas, and Leanne Hurst Mann, as a delegation from the Labor Community Strategy Center. We went to the Boston Social Forum, where we ran about 8 workshops and attended about another 8, since we were sort of going from morning till night. And I think that Manning's talk reflects, first of all, very good politics, the demonic triumvirate of unemployment, disenfranchisement, and imprisonment focused within the Black and Latino communities. But coming back from the Boston Social Forum, you just see a lot of the problems of the movement. And for those of you who I hope become our regular 4 o'clock listeners, we're going to try to have a pretty introspective, self-critical view of the movement. That is to say, the only people we have on the show are movement people. The only people we want on the show are people trying to talk about building a movement. But the movement is in a phenomenal historical dead end that none of us understand how to get out of. So we're fighting very, very hard. But there's some folks who are fighting out of the dead end better than others. So, for instance, to start with, why is the Boston Social Forum so white? Why are so many of the structural movement meetings so white, talking about including people of color, reaching out to people of color, blah, blah, blah? The Strategy Center, just to start with, I'm happy to say, was formed as a multiracial, multinational organization, the vast majority of whose members were Black and Latino in particular. And we moved to keep whites out in proportion. We have, that is to say, we bring whites in a proportional representation to the number of oppressed nationalities we bring in. So we don't see white people as the center of the world, but we see oppressed nationality people as the center of the world. There's a whole lot of white people who really don't even notice that they're in virtually all white structures. So then when Manning has to come and Angela Davis, you have two giants of the left intellect, Manning has to start by saying, oops, I think I'm going to drop a lot of the components of my talk. I got to focus heavily on the issue of racism once again. He was very nice to the audience. He didn't address the racism of the movement, but he tried to focus strategically on these questions. Secondly, that the anti-globalization movement, which we know, which did some really amazing things and continues to do some really amazing things, is very confused, I think, about the issue of imperialism, which is why they call themselves the anti-globalization movement. I don't know why they call it the anti-globalization movement. I keep wanting to say, I'm for globalization. I'm not against globalization. Why should I be against it? Globalization to me simply means the international nature of the world economy and the world culture. You could have an international socialist movement that would be globalized, unless you deal with socialism versus capitalism. And the other thing is that the people in the United States don't deal with the United States. They don't deal with the United States as a oppressor nation. So they don't go around and say, which they should, we're sorry that we live in a country that's dominating all the countries of the world, which I thought Manning should have perhaps focused a little more on. So you got a dilemma, which is a bunch of really good white kids. I'm getting those saying global justice is a preferred term. Anti-globalization is the media's term too often used by the participants, right? So the problem is the participants got to get their own name together. It was interesting because imperialism, which was, you know, we're in a dilemma now, because imperialism was Lenin's original concept, talking about in the monopoly stage of capitalism, the tendency of the advanced capitalist countries to oppress and exploit a whole nations and people. That would be very consistent with Manning's concept, if I can get it here, Manning was talking about the new racialization of the international arena. I'll find it in a minute. So one of the dilemmas you got, if I'm clear where I'm going, is that you have these predominantly white audiences. You have black and Latino speakers trying time and time again to educate them about the centrality of the black and the Latino movement, focusing on the intersection of unemployment, disenfranchisement, and the prison system. And then I think we have to talk about, of course, U.S. aggression in the world, such as Iraq, as we're talking about right now. Now, we had 8 workshops, which was very interesting. Here's another example. In our 8 workshops, we had a lot of white people in our workshops, really good white people in our workshops. But over time, the racial composition of our workshops got better, because every oppressed nationality young person, Asian, black, and Latino, who came to our first one, stayed and came to our second, and brought some more friends. And then by the 3rd workshop, the racial composition started getting to be about 50-50. Then what was the film showing? What were we to say? They showed Leanne Hurst Mann hooked up the film Bus Riders Union by Saturday night. What would you say the racial composition was there?
I would say it's probably about 75% oppressed nationality folks.
Right. So what we did is we organized. The point was that we organized people around an anti-racist line. We found these young people. We had heart-to-heart talks with them between each workshop. We must have been there for 12, 14 hours a day. And here's the encouraging part. And I'll end with this. One was very interesting about white folks is, in terms of fighting my own ageism, the number of my old friends from Boston SDS, where I was very active, who were still in the movement, coming up to me, some whispering, I was with you in a weatherman group. Do you remember me? I was in a house with you in 1965 where we did this anti-war project. Or other people saying I've been, in the public schools for 35 years fighting against racism and being a public school teacher. So there were some people that were in the group Urbana Vida. Is that right? No, Vida Urbana. Vida Urbana and Urban Life. That had been there for 30 years and had moved for the in a very positive direction. There was Chuck Turner, a black city councilman from Boston, who I worked with in 1965 in Boston, where we fought against racial segregation at Tufts University at a sit-in against the white building trades. And let me tell you, we almost got killed there in terms of what the white workers holding onto the jobs that they didn't want to give black people. So the positives were, one, that while the audience was overwhelmingly white, these were good white people. The critique is not of the whites. The critique is of the culture that they can't break out of. Secondly, that there is a growing number of young, oppressed nationality, radical, hip-hop, politically conscious people that want to devote their life to a movement of social change. And third, that the intellectual level was very high, and that a lot of the talks, such as the one you heard from Manning Marable and others you'll hear from Angela Davis, and plug in my own self at 5 o'clock today on
Beneath
the Surface. They're going to have a couple of speakers, and one of them will be me. That is the talk that I gave at the Boston Social Forum. So these are rough times for building the movement, but we're happy to be part of it, and we're going to take a quick break. And we'll be right back with Walia Johns talking about water rights among the Hopi people, the Navajo people, and this is an example of building these movements on the ground that Manning was talking about.